yesterday afternoon, how many were enjoying a beautiful day yesterday afternoon? Can I see your hands? And then all of a sudden we had the outburst, the pour of rain. How many got hit with that, huh? In West Boylston, we actually got pea-sized hail. Anyone experience hail yesterday? I'm out on the porch under the overhang, and I'm just watching the rain come down. All of a sudden, I look down on my flower bed, and I'm like, wait a minute, I didn't put any fertilizer down, and I realized it was hail. You know what? I've been watching on YouTube, Pastor Rick, I've moved away from the wingsuit men, all right? But I've been watching tornadoes and super storms, and man, it awes me. I grew up in the Midwest, so I grew up in Tornado Alley. I'm pretty used to having to go to the basement and hearing the sirens once a month be tested. And so I've been through a few tornadoes. But man, some of the footage that they're capturing today is just absolutely phenomenal. For a tornado to happen, there has to be a lot of things in the atmosphere just right for a tornado to form. You have to have just the right amount of hot and cold air. And then the swirls of wind begin to swirl before it sweeps down and just impacts the earth. And you know what? I believe God is getting ready to move in a spiritual way upon his church here in America and around the world. I believe that the spiritual conditions are becoming just right for a super move of God. There may be super cells that do damage upon the earth, but I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, there's a super God who's getting ready to do super things in this world. Listen, he has to. When I look at the world around us and I see the mix of the spiritual and I see the evil that is going on in the world today, the mix of the hot and the cold air, listen, I'm telling you what, the conditions are ripe for a move of God. I want to ask you a question before we hop into the Word of God this morning. I want to ask you, what's the spiritual condition of your heart today? Where are you at with God? I want you to ask yourself that question. Are you on fire for God? Are you passionate for him? Do you love him with all your heart, soul, and mind? Do you think about him 7 days a week? Do you think about him at work? Do you think about him on a walk? Do you think about him when you drive? Or do you just think about him when Pastor Tim preaches a message on a Sunday morning? Listen, God is wanting to prepare the spiritual atmospheric conditions of your heart to receive from him what he's wanting to do in your life. Someone say amen. Amen. How many of you grew up, well, a lot of you did, I'm looking around. A lot of us grew up in the 80s, all right? Let's do this. Is there anyone here who did not grow up in the 80s? Let's see your hands, all right. Back in the 80s, we had these television shows called soap operas. How many remember the soap operas? Are they still around? Yeah. They are. Oh, my goodness. Well, in the mornings, we had what? We had like Days of Our Lives, As the Stomach Churns. As the World Turns. We had General Hospital. That was the big one. All right. I remember that. Whoops. And we had all these soap operas. In the evening, we had shows like Dynasty. How many remember Dynasty? Sorry, I'm not used to holding something, so give me a second here. And then we also had one of my favorite shows, which I'm not sure that I ever watched, but I just liked the name, Dallas. As a Cowboy fan, I love that name, Dallas. Who watched JR get shot? Can I see your hand? All right. Listen, as we hop into the Word of God today, we're going to witness a biblical soap opera begin to take place right before our very eyes. We're in the book of Mark. We're in chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 14 through 29 this morning. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. If you remember a few weeks ago, Jesus had just commissioned his disciples to go into the world, and he put his authority on them to heal and to deliver from demons and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so where it says here, King Herod heard of it. That's what he heard of. He heard of Jesus Christ. He was hearing the news. He was hearing about his disciples that were going about and wreaking havoc on evil in the world and raising the dead and healing and opening blind eyes and all of these sort of things. Some said, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him, in Jesus. But others said, no, he's Elijah. And others said, no, he's a prophet like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, He said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For it was Herod who had sent and seized John the Baptist and had him bound in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he, Herod, married her. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against John and wanted him put to death, but she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. But when an opportunity came, when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his nobles and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee, for when Herodias' daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, ask me whatever you wish, and I will give it to you. And he vowed to her, listen, I'm serious. Whatever you ask me, I will give it to you, up to half of my kingdom. And she went out and she said to her mother, for what should I ask? And her mother, Herodias, said, without a thought, the head of John the Baptist. And she came in immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And the king was exceedingly sorry because of his oaths and of his guests, he did not want to break his word to her. And immediately the king sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. And he went and beheaded him in the prison. And he brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl. And the girl gave it to her mother. And when his disciples, that's John's disciples, had heard of it, they came and they took his body and they laid it in a tomb. Father, in the name of Jesus, the name that is above every other name, God, I pray that you would move in this place today. Powerfully, God, move in our hearts. Lord, for those who need to be spiritually awakened, God, let today be the day. Father God, for those who need to be encouraged, let today be today. For those who need your discipline, let today be today. God, whatever is needed in this place, I pray the power of your word and spirit to be at work in Jesus' name. And everyone said, John the Baptist, who was he? Actually, today, we're going to talk just a little bit about John, but today's really more about King Herod and Herodias. But who was John the Baptist? He was a person whom God had called to preach repentance to the world. And he, when they repented, he would take them into the Jordan River and he would baptize them. We're going to have a baptism today. You're all invited if you're still around. I know the green shirts will be gone. Praise God. They're on a mission. But if you're not in a green shirt and you want to come back after the 11 o'clock, we're going to baptize people. They're going to profess their faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? John the Baptist preached repentance, and when they repented, he baptized them in the Jordan River. John's adult life was characterized really by two things. John could be identified by two things: his devotion to God and his surrender to God. To live a life like John the Baptist lived, you had to be devoted to God. To live a life like John the Baptist lived, you had to be surrendered to God. It's the same call that you and I have today, but many of us are not fully devoted or fully surrendered like John the Baptist was. We have a lot, all of us, could learn about devotion to God and surrender. Amen? God handpicked John the Baptist to be his messenger, a herald, so to speak, to preach that the Messiah was coming. The good news of John was the Messiah is coming. Prepare ye the way. And this was spoken about both in Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, and the prophet Malachi, both prophesy about John the Baptist. If you go to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, we read, a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway in our God. Malachi 3:1 says, behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. That was the message of John the Baptist. In the book of John, the Gospel of John, when the Jews came to ask John the Baptist who he was, John the Baptist responded. In chapter 1, verse 23, we read, John said, John the Baptist said, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. This was just as the prophet Isaiah had said. John the Baptist was one of the first ever evangelists. How many were here just a couple weeks ago when we had evangelist Greg and Robin Hubbard here? The work of an evangelist is to unashamedly preach the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want all of us to understand something here today. Every single one of us in this room have a calling on our life. Every one of us have a purpose, a destiny that God birthed us with. Not going to go there. We've gone there many times. But listen, along with whatever that purpose is, along with whatever your calling is, we all share some similar threads. And one of those things is that in our ministry and in our calling, we are all to do the work of an evangelist. We're all to be a voice crying out in the wilderness and telling the world around us about the good news of Jesus Christ. Someone say amen. We started our C52 campaign last week. We had 196 people sign up to be a part of C52 over the next year. Can we give God a hand clap? Praise God. Some of you weren't here. Some of you weren't ready to sign this card. But this morning, before you leave, I want to invite you to become a part of C52. Listen, it's a pledge of faith. No one's going to check up on you. No one's going to say, hey, why aren't you doing A, B, C? Listen, by faith, you're committing to trust God, to put a name on your heart each week to pray for that person in their spiritual condition. You're going to trust God each week to bring someone across your path where the door is going to be open to share your story, to share your faith, your testimony with that person. And then we're going to believe that once a week, God's going to give us the opportunity to invite someone to come to church with us. It's three simple things, okay? Pray, share, invite. Before this service is over, before you leave, if you've not yet filled out this card, you tear off this little piece here, keep that in your Bible, you turn this piece in. It is hard to write on, so if you need to, you can put the same information on the back where it'll just help us be able to see that. Amen? 2 Timothy 4:5 says, as for you, this is the Apostle Paul speaking to Timothy, as for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, and do the work of an evangelist to fulfill the ministry. So there we see that amongst Timothy's calling, Paul said, do the work of an evangelist. In our text, Jesus has now come onto the scene. And there are many responses that people are giving as to who Jesus and his disciples may be. And this is where the soap opera begins for us today. If you go back to the beginning of the Gospels, there's a guy named Herod the Great. Raise your hand if you remember the name Herod the Great. He was the father of the Herod in our story today. Herod the Great was the one who heard that the Messiah was about to be born. And he was the one that put an edict out to kill all the male firstborn children in all the families, because he was afraid that just maybe this news might be true. Herod the Great was put into place to rule by Rome, and he was in charge over Judea and Galilee and really over all of Israel. King Herod the Great had four sons. He had Aristobulus, who is not mentioned at all in the Bible. He had Philip, Antipas. Antipas is the Herod that we're talking about today. And he had Archelaus. And all four of these people, before King Herod the Great would die, he had split his kingdom up into four different regions. And when he died, he had left his in his last will and testament that each of these sons would be placed over one of those regions. Now, before King Herod had died, he had gotten word that his son, Aristobulus, was maybe out to get him, wanted to rise up and overthrow his dad. And so before he died, he had Aristobulus put to death. But before Aristobulus was put to death, he had a daughter. And that daughter's name was Herodias. And she's the one in our story today. Now Aristobulus' daughter, Herodias, she falls in love with Uncle Philip. You see the soap opera developing. She falls in love with Uncle Philip. And Uncle Philip marries Herodias. But Antipas, he falls in love with Herodias and seduces her, who is his niece and his brother Philip's wife, and he marries her. Soap opera indeed. These are the men in charge. These are the guys in charge of Israel at that time. Now listen, I need to give you just a little bit of warning today. This morning's message is going to hurt just a little bit. But it's in love, okay? It's in love. God is wanting to prick a few hearts here this morning, but it's in love. A few months ago, I had to have a root canal. Raise your hand if you ever had a root canal. And I had a lot of pain in my tooth. And I went to one of our beloved doctors here, dentist in the church, and he did a root canal for me. And let me tell you, it hurt worse than the pain I went in that was hurting in the first place, all right? Momentarily, it really, really hurt. I had to go back 3 times for drilling because it didn't capture it each time. It was a really troubled tooth. But today, I can stand and smile. But at the time, it hurt. This morning, God's wanting to drill down in a few hearts here because he loves you. And because he's got a plan for your life. And because you're not walking in his ways like you know you should be. So it's a message of love. It's not a spanking. It might be discipline. But he's not here to beat anyone up today. But he is here to speak very loudly and very clearly to your heart. And if you're ready to receive the word of the Lord this morning, say, praise God. Mark 6:14 through 16, King Herod Antipas, he heard of it. He heard of Jesus and his disciples and all they were doing because Jesus' name was becoming very well known. Herod hears about Jesus and immediately he begins thinking to himself, is this guy a threat to me? Is this guy really the Messiah of the Jews as he claims to be? The name of Jesus was becoming very well known. Because of his miracles, because of his teaching, because of his disciples. Also, as we have said before, that Jesus, in his life and ministry, there are hundreds of Old Testament prophecies about the coming Messiah. And Jesus, in his earthly life and ministry, he fulfilled hundreds of those Old Testament prophecies. I won't take the time today, but in sermons past, I've given you statistics and told you that even one of those prophecies coming to pass in a person's life was way more statistically impossible than someone winning the lottery. But Jesus... And this is, you can go study this. This is proof. This is a proof that Jesus was who he said he was. Jesus, in his life, he fulfilled hundreds of those Old Testament prophecies. And the only ones that he did not fill are yet to take place. All right? So everyone was witnessing this Jesus. And everyone had to consider, was this man the Messiah? Was he who he claimed to be? We all witnessed the story a few weeks ago, how when Jesus went to his hometown of Nazareth, they didn't believe him. Listen, Satan is able often to deceive the majority of people in the world. At that time, Satan was able to deceive the people of Nazareth. Why? Because instead of them focusing on all of the miracles, focusing on the teachings of Jesus, focusing on who he was claiming to be, the people of Nazareth, thanks to the fiery darts of the enemy, could only be focused on who Jesus was in the past, the little boy that they knew growing up. Satan got them focused on the wrong thing. They should have been focused on who he was claiming to be, and all of the miracles and all of the Old Testament prophecies that they knew about, that Jesus was fulfilling now in his ministry. But they couldn't see it. Why? Because they allowed the deception of the enemy to blind their eyes, and all they could see was the little Jesus of the past. Now Satan is at work again here in our story, and he's working really hard to divert Herod Antipas in recognizing or realizing the truth. Verses 14 and 16, some say he's John the Baptist who had been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. Others said, no, he's Elijah. And others said, no, he's a prophet like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard, he was considering all of what he was hearing about Jesus and his disciples, but he began to get focused on what others were saying about who Jesus was, and he got stuck there, and King Herod made a decision. Instead of weighing all the evidence, he made a decision. His eyes were blind, and all he could see was, nope, this must be John the Baptist, who I beheaded and has been raised. Now listen, this is how the enemy works against our minds. He tries to deceive us from the truth. He tries to get us focused on the wrong things. And there are some of you in this place today. You are a Christian by faith. You believe in what we are talking about. But you've been allowing yourself to be deceived by the lies of the enemy. And you're not walking and you're not living in the truth. You're not walking in the power of God or experiencing his power on a daily basis. And you're certainly not allowing his spirit to work through your life to help lead others to his hope. Why? Because you are deceived. You've been blinded by Satan. You're listening to the lies and you're not rising up and walking in the power and the anointing of God that's wanting to work in your life. Point number one today is this. We have to understand that the battle for your soul begins in your minds. The battle for your soul begins in your minds. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds, mental strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. The battle for your soul always begins in your mind. Do you think that Golgotha, the place where Jesus was crucified, do you think that Golgotha, that it was an accident that they chose that place to crucify our Savior? Do you know what Golgotha means? It means the place of the skull. Where's your brain? In your skull. What protects your brain? Your skull. Is it a coincidence? Maybe. Maybe. Satan knows and has known since the beginning of all of creation that the battle for every one of our souls in this room today would be a battle for our mind. Verses 17 through 19. For it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of his wife Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. Why? Because he married her. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. So Herodias had a grudge against John and wanted him put to death, but she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and a holy man, so he kept him safe. And when he heard, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. Here, as wicked as Herod was, he nevertheless had a respect for John's holiness. He had this weird relationship with John. While he did not believe, he still enjoyed listening to John. There was something about the message of John that intrigued Herod, even though he didn't believe, even though he didn't like that he was being singled out by John because of the wrong that he had done. Listen, there are people in churches all around the world today who love to hear a good word. They love to hear the preaching. They love what church represents. They love the music. They love the song. But when they walk out of this place, they live like everybody else. Listen, God is saying to you today, wake up, church. I've got a love for you. I've got a plan for you. I've got a hope for you that if you will surrender your heart before me, I will use you in ways that you could never dream or ever imagine. Receive the word of the Lord. In Timothy, one of the Timothys, I can't remember which one it was, but Paul said in 1st or 2nd Timothy, he said, there will come a day in the latter times where people will gather around themselves people who will say only what they want them to say because they have itchy ears. And that message scratches that itch in their ears. So we have churches all around the world today that are succumbing from preaching the truth. Listen, I'm not bringing you something I'm making up. I'm doing my best to bring you the Word of God this morning. But there are churches who have diverted from the Word of God. They'll take a scripture and topically they'll preach about relationships. Nothing wrong with that. We will do a series sometime on relationship. But church, let me tell you this and listen. When you are in alignment with God, your relationships will be good. And if you're not in alignment with God, it does not matter if you have a how-to-do list on relationships. Step one on marriage, love your wife, love your husband. Duh, right? It doesn't matter what that list says. If you're not in alignment with God, you're not going to live out that list. So we've got to get back to the Word of God. We've got to ask that God would remove the blinders on our eyes. We got to ask that God would bring us to a place of repentance where we decide to stop living by the world standards or our own, and we choose to submit to the Word of God. Herodias wanted John the Baptist dead. Why? Because he was pointing out the sin in their lives. Point number two is this: people often cannot handle the truth when the truth confronts their way of living. That's the truth. When the truth confronts our way of living, we don't want to receive it, do we? Or at least we have a hard time. I have been in full-time ministry for over 24 years. And at some place in my ministry, there was a couple who wanted me to marry them. And they had been living together. And so I asked them this question. I said, are you guys sleeping together? Are you being intimate? Do you have a sexual relationship? And they honestly and right away said, yes, we do. I opened up the Word of God and I began to explain what the Bible says about sexual purity, about sex outside of marriage, and about God's design for how it should go. And I said, listen, would you guys be willing from now to the point of your marriage, which was only 2 months away, would you be willing to stop the sexual relationship? And they said, as quickly as they answered the first question, no. And so I told them, I said, hey, look, because of the Word of God and because I've been chosen to be a minister of the Word of God, I do not feel comfortable in being able to perform your marriage. Because God will forgive you from this moment backwards. God will forgive you for every time you were in bed together. He'll forgive you for every time. Instead of the sheets covering you, His blood will cover you for every time. If right now you will ask Him to forgive you of your sin and get your heart right with God. But you just told me you're not willing to align yourself with what God's Word tells us. You said no. So for that reason, I can't marry you. I'm very sorry. And you know what? That couple chose to leave the church that I was a part of at that time. Why? Because people can't handle the truth when the truth confronts their way of living. Verses 21 through 29. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for the nobles and the military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. And when Herodias' daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and the guests. So the king said, hey, honey, I'm going to give you whatever you want. You just let me know what you want, and up to half of my kingdom, I'm going to give it to you. Now, most scholars agree that Herod most likely did not want to kill John the Baptist. He didn't, or he would have done it by now. However, Herod got caught up in the moment. He got caught up in the lust of his flesh. He got caught up in his lack of self-control, and he succumbs to the pressures of his family and friends. And she, Salome, that was the daughter's name, went out and said to her mother, what should I ask? And the mother said, the head of John the Baptist. So she came back to King Herod, and she said, Daddy, she said, I want John the Baptist's head. I want it on a platter, and I want it right now. And it says here that the king was exceedingly sorry because of his oaths and his guests, he did not want to break his word to her. He did not want to kill John the Baptist. But his pride caused him to do the unthinkable. Point number three is this: the truth will either free you or enrage you. The truth will either free you or enrage you. Herod respected John until John touched him in his Herodias. And then everything changed. There are many people in churches all over the world today, again, who love good preaching, but when the truth confronts them, they're out the door. The good news, though, is this: that Jesus took care of the penalty of our sins. So let me bring you the good news for just a moment. How many want some good news this morning? If you're here and maybe God's spoken to your heart and you know your life is not right with him, or maybe you love God, you love the Christian faith, you love everything about Christianity, but you've been making some really bad choices. You've been not walking in alignment with your word. Listen, my friend, my brother or my sister, listen. God will forgive you. God's not wanting to slap you alongside of the head and kick you into the corner and say, stay there until I tell you to come out. That's not what he wants. The good news today is he's wanting to forgive you. He's wanting to cleanse you. He's wanting you to come before him and just say, forgive me of all of my sin. I repent. I know I'm doing wrong. And then you know what he wants you to do? Not beg him. He just wants you to receive the gift of his grace and the gift of his mercy and the blood that he shed at Calvary's cross. And he's wanting you to be cleansed from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. And he's wanting you to rise up afresh and new. And then just like the woman at the well, he'll look you in the eyes. He'll put his hand on your face and he'll say, son, daughter, now go and sin no more. That's the process, folks. That's the God that we serve. He's a good God. He's a great God. And he loves us enough to tell us the truth. He loves us enough to send his word and his Holy Spirit to convict you. There are some in this room right now, you feel the conviction of God's finger on your heart. Why? Because he loves you. And he's pointing out where you're not in alignment with his word. And this morning, he's giving you an opportunity to get in alignment. Would you stand all over this place? It's time to be bold. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now for the spiritual, atmospheric conditions of our hearts in this place today, Lord God, that we would be ready, Lord God, to receive this word, to respond to this word, and to allow you to complete it. For your word says, he who has begun a good work in me will be faithful to complete it. So, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I pray against pride. I pray against anything that would hold anybody back. Father God, I don't care if they're on the board. I don't care if they're in the sound booth. I don't care if they're up here on the stage. God, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now, Father God, that if someone needs to respond, they would respond to your love. Right now, you can have your eyes open, you can have your eyes shut. It really should not matter. If you know you're not in alignment with God, and you know you need to get back into an alignment with God, right now is your opportunity. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's not going to be a raising of your hand. There's going to be a say, you need to get down here with me at this front. That's what it is. There should be no pride. There should be nothing that would hold you to that seat right now. Why? Because God loves you, we love you, and there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. You know what there'll be if you come forward? A celebration that you're letting God work deep down in your heart. So right now, on the count of three, if that's you, I want you without haste to make your way down and join me at this altar. 1, 2, 3. Come on. Come down to this altar right now. If you know you need to get in alignment with God this morning, you've not been living with him. I'm serious. If you're in the sound booth, if you're playing a guitar on the drums, if you need to get things right with God, then you come down right now. In Jesus' name, I'm going to wait just a few moments. Last night, I waited for a good 2 minutes before one person walked down. But before 5 to 10 minutes was gone, this place was full. Why? Because at first, we're always all resistant. Or even though I said, we won't condemn you, you're like, well, what are they going to think of me? Listen, I promise you, we're going to celebrate with you what God is going to do in your heart right now. That's what we're going to do. We're not going to condemn you. We love you. God loves you. This is because he loves you. I'm going to wait a few more minutes. Guys, is there anyone on our ministry team? We love you. Anyone that needs to come down and be a part of this altar call this morning? You don't have to stay on that instrument. If you need to be down here, come down. Whew, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Praise you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Well, second thing, if you're here and you've recently gone through an alignment, you've recently gotten your life aligned with God, you've been here even maybe just a few weeks ago, but you've recently gotten an alignment with God, would you come and join our friends? Come on, if that's you, I want you to come down and I want you to stand with your friends at this altar right now. If you've recently gotten an alignment with God, praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Now, the last call and the most important call of the morning. You're here, and you've never given your life to Christ. You've never called upon the name of the Lord Jesus. You've never asked him to forgive you of your sins. You've never repented. That word repent means I've been doing my own thing, living my own way, but this morning you've been confronted with the truth and you know you need a Savior. And repentance means I'm not going to live that way anymore. I need to go that way. I'm not going to walk that way anymore. I'm going to go that way. If you know you need a Savior and you're here this morning, you know you need Jesus in your life. Forgiveness of your sins. You know that you need to have an understanding of this book, the Bible, that we're preaching from today. If that's you, would you come and join us up here right now? Is there anyone here this morning that you need Jesus Christ in your heart and he's not there when you walked in this morning? Anyone, would you come up and join us right now? Anyone? Praise you, Father. Now, listen, folks, here's what I'm going to do. First of all, I say all the time, it's not your words. It's not your words. Listen, I've been married for 26 years, and my wife and I have had tense moments just like every marriage. And you know what my wife has said to me when I say I'm sorry or when she says I'm sorry? We kind of have a saying. Most of the time, it's me that says I'm sorry. But she says, you know what? It's not your words. She says, I'll know it by your actions. So it's really not what comes out of your mouth right now. You know what excites me is you had action. You took action. You came down to this altar this morning. That's the most important step you could have ever taken today beyond any words. But we are going to pray. Why? Because I believe in a prayer of faith. So I'm going to pray over you. But I want you to pray, and I want you to ask God to forgive you. Whatever brought you to this altar, ask him to forgive you, ask him to cleanse you, ask him to purify you, and then receive that forgiveness and that cleansing, and walk out of here with confidence today, knowing that you've been cleaned up by the grace of God. Amen? And then as the word of God says, go and sin no more. Can't do it by yourself. But as you daily walk in a relationship with him, he will partner with you to help you move up and up and up to get to that place where you're really feeling humble before him because of his grace at work in your life. So I'm going to pray, and then you have your individual prayer while I'm praying on our behalf. All right, ready, set, let's pray. Everybody, church, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you today. Lord, we confess our sins, God. We confess our sins, whatever they might be, God. Lord, we confess them before you, and we ask that you would forgive us. God, we repent of our sins this morning, Lord God. We ask that you would, from the inside out, Lord God, completely renovate our hearts. Lord, get us in alignment with your word today, Lord God. Be our spiritual chiropractor right now, Lord. Lord God. Get us in alignment with your word, Father God. And Lord, I pray, Jesus, that Lord God, all of my brothers and sisters who are here, that God, they would feel this cleansing taking place right now, this restoration taking place right now, that God, they would walk out of here, Lord God, with a smile in their hearts and a smile on their face, knowing that their God met them here in this place and is beginning a new track in their life and in their spiritual relationship with him. So Father, right now, we receive from you, Lord God, your love. Thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. And now, God, I pray that you would empower and strengthen and draw each and every one of us to your word. God, that we would be hungry and thirsty for you, for righteousness, and Lord God, for what you have in store for us to carry out on your behalf. We ask this all in the precious and most wonderful, amazing, awesome name of Jesus Christ. And Liberty Church together said, amen. Now stay here. Listen, stay here. We're going to sing this song, but listen, stay here. Let God work for just a few moments. You might need to find a place and kneel and just be, or maybe you need to celebrate and worship and sing, but don't just rush out. Stay here for just a few more minutes, okay? And then when God releases you, you're released, all right? I love you guys very, very much. Let's all worship him together. Don't forget, if you haven't, please consider filling out this card. Just lay it up on this platform before you walk out this morning. God bless you.
You give a life.